and welcome to the Property Unleashed podcast with me, Mark Fitzgerald. And today I am joined by a lovely special guest. Francesca is on the show with me today. Welcome to the show, Francesca. Great to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
No problem, no problem. So Francesca George is a property entrepreneur and a member of the Rent to Rent Business Builder program. She has also been a one-to-one client of mine, which she started in July 2022. She has gone on to successfully secure rent-to-rent deals, and within 6 months of starting all of this, which is great, 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 she now manages 17 rooms across three properties while still maintaining a full-time job. So that is absolutely excellent. Can you tell us a bit more about yourself, please, Francesca?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am doing my property journey with my partner, Nick. And as you've mentioned, we're both working full time at the moment. I'm an accountant for a law firm based in Bath, and I was born and raised in Bath, but I now live in Bristol. And I've always been interested in property from a young age, but living in Bath and seeing how expensive the housing market was, it kind of always felt like a pipe dream. I've always loved shows like Homes Under the Hammer and Grand Designs, but kind of actively doing anything like that kind of always seemed so unobtainable. And it kind of always felt like you had to be kind of a millionaire to invest in that sort of area in the country. And then my partner, Nick, went on the Mastermind 3-day accelerator. And when he came back, he was so excited and enthusiastic. And he was speaking a million miles per hour about all of these different strategies that you could invest in. And I think my normal reaction to something like that would be to kind of put my accountant's head on and be a little bit wary and cautious about stepping into an industry that ultimately neither of us knew anything about. But 2 months prior to that, my mum sadly passed away from liver failure. And kind of overnight, I turned into this surrogate mother figure for my 17-year-old brother at the time. So I guess my drive for property very much came from the same sense of any other parent would have in that situation. And that's kind of, I want my brother to have a legacy and I want him to have, you know, financial security and stability if anything were to happen to me. And I also kind of knew that me and Nick were so determined in everything that we kind of did in life, so that if anyone was to kind of make it work, then I think, you know, me and Nick were able to do that. So we both invested in our knowledge and our learning. Kind of, I signed up to your course, Mark, in July 2022. And then Nick signed up to the Mastermind course. We both haven't looked back really from there.
No, it's been amazing to see your progress and everything. And thank you for sharing, obviously, your journey. And sorry about your mother and things. But taking on, you know, looking after your brother, that legacy piece, I always say, and this really touches home to that, that when you start out doing something like property investing, and you know yourself, and I know it's hard, it's not easy, you know, there's good times and there's bad times and things, but you need to, I always think you need a higher purpose than just the money. I know, obviously we all want retirement and we want the money, but if you're working, you know, because you believe in something more than just capital gain or just cash flow, like helping your family members, doing the right things together, then I think that really does sometimes gives you that aha moment to help you push yourself on. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, yeah. And I really think that in that kind of situation, you really kind of see what stuff you're made out of. You know, it was that kind of typical fight or flight moment, in all honesty. And it was a very impulsive decision at the time to start property, but it's absolutely the best decision that me and Nick have both made in our lives.
No, it's been great. It's been great to be able to support you and help you on your journey and to follow it, of course, as well. So I moved from Bath, and I sound more from Bath than you do. Isn't it? I've got a right farmer thing on here. So I moved from Bath, though. I moved up north to buy houses because it was so expensive in Bath. But that was when my mindset, I wasn't ever looking at being a property investor. I just wanted to buy a house to live in. So you guys have done rent-to-rent deals. You've purchased a property as well, didn't you? Last I spoke to you, you were looking at purchasing another one, I think, weren't you?
Not yet. We're planning to split the land on the property that we bought and get planning permission to build potentially another dwelling or sell the land for planning permission. We've not quite decided yet.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. So you've got 17 rooms that you're managing at the moment.
Yeah.
And how do you guys manage to do all of that with full-time job? Because a lot of people always say, I can't do anything like that because I've got a full-time job. Well, you both have as well. And I know Nick works away and your job's very demanding as well. So if you could explain that, I'm sure the listeners will like to hear that one.
I mean, yeah, I guess when it comes to property, the first thing to say is nothing is ever easy. And with all of the deals that we've kind of got over the line, it has been kind of a manic couple of weeks rush, like going home at like 11 o'clock at night, refurbishing the rooms ourselves. You know, when you first start off in property, you don't have endless pits of money to use. So we're kind of painting rooms ourselves, you know, doing everything that we can to keep that expenditure down in the company. But I think that it's really rewarding at the end of it. Once you get everything over the line, the tenants are happy, and the rent's kind of starting to trickling in, and you're like, okay, well, this is really infectious now. I'm just ready to go again and get that next deal over the line.
No, it is difficult. But like you say, as you start to grow, it gets easier as well. It's always harder, should I say, when you're starting, because you get hit by a lot of the unknowns that you weren't expecting all the time, which is always why it's always great to have, you know, somebody that you can fall back on, that you can ask questions to. And of course, you know, can help and support you and just say, no, that's normal. You're all right. You get that sorted out now. You'll be all right then. And then you'll be able to see it sort of coming next time. So let's talk about your rent-to-rent deal then. How did you find that deal?
Yeah, well, the first deal came through marketing letters, landlord letters. But I think it's really important kind of sharing the learning curves as well as the wins, because I think that people starting this property journey, it's so easy to lose your rhythm and get disheartened. And I think that with rent to rent, it's probably one of the most hardest strategies to get that deal. But once you've got that deal, it's so rewarding in terms of the cash flow benefits and how little capital that you have to put into it. And I think me and Nick got really cocky, probably the word is to say, with our first batch of letters. We thought it was a brilliant idea to send out 3,000 letters at once, and we thought, you know what, we're going to get loads of deals out of this and millions of calls. And you know what, we didn't get a single deal out of it. So I think it's really important to just express that it's definitely a numbers game when it comes to rent, and you've really got to have a thick skin, because you are going to get a hell of a lot of no's. But when that yes does come over the line, it is just so rewarding to reap the benefits of it.
Yeah, no, and that's great advice as well, because it is, I always say it's easy to say, but it is a numbers game. You get some people, obviously, that we've seen on the rent-to-rent business builder as well, that are absolutely flying, but they've still had all the no's. They've still spoken to lots of people. I didn't speak to one person, get a deal, happy days. Now, we have had people on the training that have been fortunate enough to do that, but I must have spoken to at least 14 odd landlords. I think I put in about 6 offers before I ever actually got an offer over the line as well, because that was the way the numbers were. But you just keep going with it. And I think if you go in with the mindset that, a bit like I would have never said to send 3,000 letters in one, that's for sure. That's a monster.
It's very expensive. You
know, at least put that down into maybe 1,000 a week or something. But hey ho, you put yourself out there. You know, some people won't even send a letter because they're scared of getting out there, scared of getting a deal. At least you flooded the market, so to speak, and went for it, which is absolutely amazing. But it is a numbers game. You have got to get used to the door basically being closed in your face, because not everybody's ready for the deals. Now, I bet you any money, the deal that you did, the landlord had a problem.
Absolutely. I mean, at the first rent-to-rent deal that we got was from our second batch of landlord letters, but she certainly didn't sign the contract straight away. So she came to us and said, you know what, I'm tired of this. I don't want to manage the property anymore. We were negotiating and she completely pulled out last minute and said, you know what, I'm actually going to manage it ourselves. But we kept in contact with her, kept chasing her up. But it wasn't until 6 months later that she came back to us and said, actually, you know what, I'd like you to manage our property. And it just goes to show that it is, the key is completely in the follow-up with these deals.
The old saying, the money's in the follow-up.
It is. the famous phrase.
yeah. But it, I mean, it is. I mean, my first deal as well. We put the proposal there. Everything was agreed. We were going through the contracts and we couldn't agree on the contracts, on the terms on the contract. And in the end, they just wanted everything in their favor, nothing in mine. They wanted me to lock me into everything. And it's just like, that's not the way I'm doing business. And I actually walked away and they came back to me and said, are we going to do this or not? We'll just make it 50-50 so that we can all do it. I was like, well, yeah, that's fair enough then. But again, you're speaking to landlords. Some of them, you pique their interest up and they'll be like, I'm going to speak to this person, see what I can potentially get, if it can remove, you know, the hassle and everything like that. But they might not be ready at that moment. But there you go. You've done it. You've followed up on a regular basis. You've just been very nice and courteous about it. You've let her know we're here to help you and we can help you if you need to, if you need it. And she's come back to you, obviously, and she does. She's got herself motivated. Something's happened, upset her, and she now wants to do business with you. And what was the property?
So it was a 5-bed HMO based in Bath.
Okay, very good, very good. And you know, Bath is an expensive place to live and everything. So the fact that you've got a deal over the line that you've purchased, you've got a little bit of land at the side of it there that you're going to be looking to develop on or extend onto and stuff like that, which is great. But it just goes to show as well, Bath's not the biggest place either. So, you know, you can still get deals anywhere, can't you? Because some people say to me, I can't go into my local town or city or whatever. It's saturated. Oh, everywhere's saturated. But it's about trying to be a bit better than the competition. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And I think that if people don't have kind of a lot of money to invest in their business, then you can be a little bit strategic in terms of your marketing as well. You know, if you're looking solely for student accommodation, if you perhaps send out landlord letters a couple of months before the student academic year, you can almost preempt what that landlord's kind of pain points are in terms of they've got voids. And that's, you know, the reason why they want you to manage their property. So, you know, you can be a little bit clever if you haven't got kind of a lot of money to kind of do regular marketing campaigns as well, I think.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, this time of year right here and now, if you are doing students, is the time to get boots on the ground and have a little drive around, have a little walk around the area because it gets dark earlier now. So you can see the houses that have no lights on. If they've got no lights on, no windows open, there's probably nobody living in the property. And if it's got an HMO board, which predominantly a lot of student heads do have the boards outside all year round, those are the landlords now that you want to be knocking on their door, so to speak, or sending them a letter or getting in contact with them to see if because they've got a problem. They've probably got a property that's empty. So, you know, it's a numbers game. If you find enough of those motivated landlords now that are maybe fed up with the agents that haven't done it, or maybe it's just a little bit tired, so students aren't choosing to live there anymore because, you know, people for me now, the right people that you want to serve, depending on the clientele that you want to serve, of course, they want experience. They want to live, you know, they buy more. We all buy more. Well, we all buy on emotion. But I find that a lot of my tenants now come and live in our properties more for the emotion of living in that property than the property itself. You look at the property outside, it's nothing special. But when you go inside, because we try and, you know, we've upped our game a bit, made it a bit better for sort of co-living standards, people are happier to pay a bit more for that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's a great time to be going out there now looking for properties that are empty because people are going to be worried that they're going to be empty all year long. Have you done any of that?
Absolutely, yeah. So with our second rent to rent, there were a couple of voids there. So, again, that was a pain point. But in terms of Bath, it's predominantly populated with kind of student HMOs. So, again, yeah, this is the perfect time to be concentrating on Bath at the moment with the student accommodation.
And of course, you know, specializing in the Bath area and things, we know that it is a student and tourist town. That I also see, because I go back every now and again, see a bit of family and stuff. There's a lot of high-rise student, purpose-built student blocks going up as well, isn't there?
So, yeah, there is. Yeah, absolutely.
Does that concern you, or how, you know, speaking to the students, potentially the tenants themselves and stuff? Have you had the feedback? Because I have in Sheffield, and a lot of the feedback's been, I don't really want to live in those because, you know, they're very set in their ways. They're very, very sort of corporate in a lot of them. So we're quite happy to have a house that we can share with our friends and really get that experience. What's the sort of vibe you've got from the Bath area?
In Bath, I still think there's a major lack of housing for students out there at the moment. You tend to see kind of student accommodation go up, and it's not particularly great, in all honesty. It's pretty grotty, but they're still charging really, really high rents. So I think that there's always going to be that need for student accommodation in Bath.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, my son's at the age now where he's looking at universities and things. So we're going around looking at different universities, you know, Oxford and York and all sorts. And when we go around and look at accommodations, the price is unbelievable. Yeah. So I would rather, you know, or he's even said, I'd rather stay in a nice, you know, HMO with me mates than I would pay that. And like you say, the communal areas, they're not great. They're not all kept up to the standard. And some of them look really dated. I mean, one of them we walked into, honestly, it looked like something out of the 1980s. And it was quite a new block as well. But I don't know why they'd done the decor the way they had. Maybe it looked good on day one, but it certainly didn't look good now. So, you know, the market is still there for it, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that is probably the biggest pain point for landlords in Bath. They kind of do it up, you know, 10 years ago and that's it. They just want the cash flow. It gets to a point where it needs refurbishing. It needs a good kind of rip out, paint, carpets, you know, everything. And so that's probably been the biggest pain point when we've approached landlords in Bath area.
So the first rent-to-rent deal you had, I'm just interested, if you don't mind sharing, you don't have to share, but how much did it cost you to, you know, when you went in, you got the deal, setting it all up to get it cash flowing? Because a lot of people say, well, I need to save up loads and loads of money to do a rent-to-rent deal and things. But I always try and help and show people that, yes, it will cost you some money, but it doesn't have to cost you, you know, thousands and thousands of pounds.
I would probably say it cost about £600, in all honesty, and that was mainly just for furniture, kind of wardrobes and things. I'm quite fortunate that a lot of my family work in the building trade. So my stepdad's a carpet fitter, so he did the carpets really cheap for us. And then we just had some old paint in the garage, in all honesty. We gave it a lick of paint with some grey paint. And then, yeah, we put it up on to let, and we pretty much had the one room filled out within a couple of weeks.
And you did, I remember you showing before and after pictures, because you guys were slaving away, weren't you? They were there all night. You were giving it everything. And like we say, it's hard work to get started and things, but you made it look really, really inviting as well. You made it a real nice place to go and live. So I, you know, congratulations to you both for that one, because, you know, it is hard. And I remember, you know, we were talking and things, and it was a case of keep it going and stuff. And you guys, there was never any doubt that you weren't going to get the deals. And that's the sort of thing that I like, because it reminds me of me. It's basically, no, this is what we're set out to do. We're going to make this happen. Start getting the cash flow in. So, I mean, looking at your futures then, because obviously, as you say, you're both still working. What is the sort of future plan for you guys?
Well, me and Nick always kind of talk about where we want to be kind of in 5 years' time and stuff. So I think we're certainly going to carry on with the rent-to-rent side of the business, but I think we're at a point now where we need to start kind of systemizing a lot of the things. So especially the compliance and things like that. So signing up to something like GoTenant would be something that we'll probably look to do in the near future. But then also Nick's kind of expressed wanting to go into some sort of training, which I think he'll be absolutely brilliant at, because he's such a people person. And then I really wanted to start doing something like maybe flipping properties. When we bought our 4-bed HMO in Bath, we bought it with tenants in situ, so we couldn't really do anything with it at the time. But when the students left, we had to do a complete gut of that property, and it's something that I really enjoyed. So I think it's really important to kind of both have your own thing going as well, especially if you're working with your partner, and have your own visions that kind of sit under that company group.
No, I think that's good. I think it also diversifies a bit, doesn't it?
So,
it gives you something else to talk about as well. Because I mean, my wife actually has nothing to do with anything in property. So it's quite nice when we sit down, we're not all property. Whereas I can imagine if you're both into it, even when you're trying to sit down and unwind, you're still talking about property, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like a little bit of a political debate sometimes, because we're both quite headstrong with our opinions, and most of our evening conversations are about property, in all honesty, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, no, it's got you this far, hasn't it? It's got you this far, and you're continually smiling and growing and things. And I just think it's absolutely amazing that that you've both done it with full-time jobs as well. And I mean, just emphasising on that, as I say, it nicks away most of the week, isn't it?
He used to work for Amazon, so he was away quite a lot, but he's recently just got a new job, which is based in Bristol area. So he's now home a lot more.
That's handy. But I say, when you started then, it was
you were
pretty much out there doing a lot of the viewings, midweek stuff. It was all you, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
So at the moment, have you got any sort of deals in the pipeline that you're looking at?
So with our second rent-to-rent deal, that was a 8-bed HMO above a pub. And that deal came around through Nick, actually. So during his mastermind program, his mentor kind of encouraged him to kind of meet up with ex-masterminders, current masterminders, and just have, you know, a quick chat and a coffee, really, just find out what people are up to, kind of what's going well, what's not going well within kind of our kind of Southwest area. And nothing really came of this one chat at the time. But then again, 6 months later, he kind of came to us and said, you know what, I really just want to focus on rent-to-rent SA. I've got this rent-to-rent HMO. Would you like to take it on? And when we viewed the property, it was really run down, in all honesty. He didn't really have the time to put the effort into the property. And there were also 3 rooms vacant at that time. So we thought it was kind of the perfect opportunity to kind of strike a deal with him there and then and say, okay, if we make sure that you break even for the next month, what we'll do is we'll go into the property, we'll refurbish the property, and then we'll also market those rooms, get the tenants that we want into that property, make sure that, you know, we've vetted them to the way that we would like to vet them, get all the paperwork sorted. And then that also allowed us to get £300 more profit from a deal than we initially thought that we would have on kind of day one of signing the contract. So that was a pretty big win for us, in all honesty.
Have you gone in there and done a refurb now?
We have, yeah. We've taken over. We've been managing it for a couple of months now. I'd say there's kind of big learning curves from all of our rent-to-rents at the moment. You know, an 8-bed is a pretty big one to take on, and we've had so many things kind of come out of it already. There's this one particular tenant that doesn't understand that his door closes on him if he ever leaves, so we've had a few instances where he's gone to have a shower and he's locked himself out. And there was one occasion where we've got a spare set of keys at the property, and he did it the day before. He took the spare key that we had, let himself back in. And then the next day he went for a shower, did exactly the same thing, but he didn't put the spare key back. So we had a call. It was Bank Holiday Monday at the time. So he was stark naked in his towel, and we had to get a locksmith out to get him back into his bedroom. So I think the key is to have, you know, a backup plan and a backup plan for the backup plan when it comes to bigger properties.
Definitely. Yeah, you probably need a code sort of lock put on the room, doesn't he, at the end of the day? But yeah, I mean, you have to sort of cater for your tenants. And I'm not being rude here, but treat them like kids in some cases, don't you? I mean, I remember in one of my properties, the tenant said, the washing machine's on the blink. It don't work. And we've been in there, and I've been in there with the clean team, and I'd seen them use washing some curtains. And I thought, oh, that's strange, because that worked a couple of days ago. So anyway, when I was in the area, I went around there and I saw him. I said to him, what's up with this washing machine then? He says, I'll show you. Anyway, he puts his washing in, turns it on, and he starts shaking the door really like vigorously. And he says, watch. And I was like, you're going to pull the door off it. And anyway, then it starts, doesn't it? He says, you've got to wiggle the door. It won't start. And I was like, you do know that it takes like 5 or 10 seconds before a washing machine actually starts when you've pressed the button. Oh, does it? So again, afterwards, it was just like, press the button, leave it, don't touch it. And it started. He went, oh, I've been doing that for a year. I'm surprised you haven't broke it, man. But I just thought, unbelievable, Jeff. And I had one with a guy in the top room. He had a lovely room, full on suite and everything like that. He texts me and he said, power's gone out. I was like, oh, that's strange. I said to him, just open your door and see if the hallway lights are working. And he said, the hallway lights and stuff are working, but power's gone out of my room. I said, okay. I said, what can I hear in the background? He said, oh, that's me telly. I said, so the power's on. He says, well, yeah, but my light's gone off. And I said to him, do me a favor. I said, take the bulb out of your ensuite, stick it in your room. And no word of a lie, I'm going to write a book on this, I tell you. He came back to me. He said, yeah, that's fixed it. But now the bulb in the ensuite don't work. Honestly, that was the moment I thought to myself, ooh, this is what we're dealing with. I thought, oh, yeah. Even my 8-year-old, you know what I mean? He knows more than that. But yeah, they're funny, aren't they? You have to have a contingency plan for a contingency plan. But it does really pay now to get the decent push button locks. I never liked those initially. But as soon as you start messing about with keys, you start to appreciate those a bit more, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. And especially, because it takes us half an hour to get there. So, you know, we didn't really have a backup time at the plan at the time. You know, our backup plan was to have a spare set of keys at the property. But now we know that we also need a backup for the backup.
Oh, that's it. That is it. So I always like to ask anybody that's worked with me and everything. Obviously, you did the rent-to-rent business builder training program. You worked with me on a one-to-one level and things like that. How did you find it?
I'm going to give you an analogy. Okay. So I think signing up to your training course is a little bit like investing in an electric bike. Okay. So you're on a standard push bike. You're facing this absolutely massive hill. It's going to be a really long, hard slog to get to the top of the hill. And you know full well that when you get to the top of that hill, you've got 6 or 7 hills after that until you get to your commuter point. And signing up to your course, in my opinion, is investing in an electric bike. You give everyone a little bit of a push, you get to the top of that hill a lot faster, a lot easier, and then you feel so motivated to take on any other hills after that. And I really feel like that's what your course has given us. You've got all of your training modules. You give everyone all the information that they need. You allow people to send you all of your deal stackers to review anything before you kind of send anything out to potential landlords. And I think the community as well is the most rewarding part of your training, because people are on that same journey together and everyone is just genuinely wanting everyone to do well and succeed.
Yeah. Well, I'm speechless there. Thank you very much, because that analogy is absolutely amazing.
A little bit of a long one.
Yeah, no, that's really, really nice. It is. I mean, for me, it is. I just wanted to have the roadmap there, that people can follow the roadmap. Then I wanted to be there to be able to support them, because you'll always have questions and things that are coming up. And of course, I also want the community as well of like-minded people that, like you say, are genuinely all trying to push together. So even if you're surrounded by, you know, naysayers or people that aren't, that don't understand what it is you're trying to do, at least you've still got a community that you can put yourself into, so you don't feel like you're on your own, do you?
Absolutely, yeah. And everyone's on the same journey together, and people are just genuinely happy for people that succeed. And I think that really gives other people motivation to keep going with their own journeys as well.
Definitely. I mean, I will ask you this. Why not? If you were, if somebody was sat on the fence listening to this, thinking to themselves, I want to do some training, I want to build a rent-to-rent business, what would you say to them?
I'd say don't even think another minute about it to sign up, because me and Nick certainly wouldn't have got to where we are if it wasn't for kind of your training and your support throughout our whole journey. And yeah, it's probably the best investment that we've ever made, in all honesty.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So what are you waiting for, guys and girls? Get signed up and come and join us. But no. So this is the part of the conversation where I call it a quick fire round. There's no quick fire about it, but I like to ask my guests some set questions to see what their answers are. If you've ever listened to the podcast, you'll know the questions I'm going to ask you. It's a bit of fun. You all right with that?
Yeah, go for it.
Cool. So what's the best advice you've been given?
I'm going to have to say the famous phrase, Mark. You've got to be consistent and persistent with your training.
I love that. Yeah. People get you there. Persistency will make you a winner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant, brilliant. I like that. I can't ask you about a corporate job because you've still got that. it's an interesting one, because even though you're in a job at the moment, if you couldn't do property but you had to choose another profession to go into, and you can still say the profession you're in if you want to keep everybody sweet, what would you do?
I do genuinely love my job as an accountant, but now that I've started this kind of property journey, I'm kind of thinking about other mathematical based jobs within the industry. So I'd probably say if I started again, I'd probably go down the architect route, in all honesty.
Nice. That's interesting. I like that. Yeah. A good answer. So if you could sit down for dinner with three people, alive or dead, who would you like to sit down and talk to?
Oh, okay. So I would pick Lord Sugar, purely because I've always watched The Apprentice. I religiously watch it every year, and I always look at the TV screen and think I could do a hell of a lot better than any of the other candidates on there. I would also pick Stephen Bartlett. Again, I love watching Dragon's Den, and I think he's a really young and driven individual, and again, gives a kind of different aspect on that entrepreneurial community. And then again, keeping down that same route, I would pick either David or Simon Rubin. Again, one of the probably most successful property developers in the UK.
Brilliant. That'd be quite a table, wouldn't it?
It would
blow your mind.
You'd learn a lot.
You'd out with some nuggets, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Do you have a top three podcasts?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to say my number one, Mark, is yours. I listened to your podcast even before I signed up to your training. My second would be On Purpose by Jay Shetty. I think it's really important to kind of keep with your well-being and mental health. And sometimes when I'm feeling a little bit demotivated or a bit run down, I always listen to one of his podcasts and it kind of keeps you going. And then the third one I would pick is your property podcast, which I also think is a really good podcast just to get some tips and some tricks about anything that you really want to understand or learn more about property.
Brilliant. Very precise as well. And have you got a top three books? They don't necessarily have to be property books. They can be any books that you've got nuggets from that you've really taken a lot from.
Oh, okay. I would pick Solve for Happy by Mo Gordat. And I would pick that book because I really resonated with it. It's a story about a father, and he's also a chief business officer at Google X. And he went through kind of loss within the family. They lost his son at a really young age, and it's about him developing this equation for happiness. And it's something kind of during my grief that it really helped me, in all honesty, to kind of get through those dark times and those dark dips, just to kind of pull yourself back up again.
Definitely. I mean, I will just, that book is the only book that I've read. The first chapter made me cry.
Yeah, it's really powerful.
I got emotional with that. When I was reading, I had to stop reading. You know what I mean? I get emotional just thinking about it. The way it's written and everything.
Yeah.
You know, what you go through is what people go through all the time, isn't it? But the way it was written and everything, and then you just think, you know, what have you got to be thankful for? What have you got to be happy about? But the whole context of that is amazing. And I can imagine, because I haven't, you know, I've not been unfortunate enough to go through anything like that. I can imagine that reading that probably did really help you as well, having read that a couple of times myself.
100%. My second book would probably be Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty. Again, really motivational. Absolutely love that anything that kind of Jay Shetty does, whether it's podcasts or books. And then the third one I'd probably say is The 5 AM Club by Robin Sharma. Yeah, great book.
I've not read the Jay Shetty one, but I've heard very, very good things about it. So I need to get hold of that now, don't I, and read that.
Absolutely, yeah. He's really good for motivational points. And, yeah,
that's cool. And the 5 a.m. Club wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah, I'm currently reading that at the moment. I've not quite finished it, but I'm loving everything about it at the moment. Yeah.
I think because he's made it a story and not just, you know, this is what you need to do at 5 a.m., boom, 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 boom. I wasn't expecting the story, and it's quite addictive, isn't it, reading it?
It is, yeah. I'm really loving that one at the moment.
Brilliant stuff. That's great. So I'm sure a lot of people will take, you know, the information on those podcasts and books and everything like that, particularly The Property Unleashed. But, you know, mind you, you're already listening to that if you're listening to this, so that's great. So, that's brilliant. I mean, at the end of the day, it's been absolutely amazing to, first and foremost, work with you. To see your progress, to see you guys, you know, taking action, getting out there, building your property businesses is always inspiring. I'd like to once again thank you for coming onto the show and talking to me and sharing what you're sharing with us. And of course, always like to invite you back in the future as well with whatever else you're looking at doing. Maybe get Nick on with you next time, or maybe not. It's up to you. If have you got any final thoughts or anything like that that you would like to say before that we end this one?
No, that's it from me. Thank you.
That's it. So if anybody would like to reach out to you to find out more about you or maybe invest in your property deals with you, what's the best way to get hold of you?
Yep. So we have an Instagram page. So you can find us at 4Share Property. So that's a numerical 4, SHARE Property Limited. And we've also got a Facebook page.
Brilliant. Absolutely amazing. Well, thank you ever so much again for joining me here today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. No worries. So if you want to get out there, you want to start your property investing journey, or maybe you already have and you're stuck, check out thepropertyunleashed.com. We have a lot of free tools and resources there. We put a lot out there to try and help people to move them into the right direction, because there are opportunities for everybody. And as I always say, make sure you have a vision. You know what it is that you want to achieve. You break that vision down into bite-sized chunks, bite-sized goals, so that you can take action on those and achieve those each and every day and keep yourselves moving forward. Thank you for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you, and I look forward to seeing you again very soon. Bye for now.